So anyhow, they have to do that, and they have to finish seating up in the metal. I assume, Dale, they haven't done that yet.
They started plowing up there this morning in the snow.
So we we wanted to finish the grading work up there, and that just got finished. And so, and just to remind everybody, that's an area that they're doing in exchange for us helping them with some seed that they have no benefit from the feed and production in that area. So, I think. They learned something from last year. I think they did a lot more preparation and planning this year, and we're going to get several perennial crops rather than just some annual crops. So I'm really happy with what they've been doing, and I don't know, Dale, if you have any more to add to that.
No, they just said they finished up the planting that they're going to do thus far. There's still another 30 acres that they will prepare the soil for spring planting of some breed of alfalfa.
So that's coming along really nice. So I hope everybody's ready to get some good pictures next spring. And I think that's a real viable restoration of the agriculture activities on the ranch. Next item, we had talked some about the Doug Hunt lease. I worked up a new lease, and I should have been smart enough to bring more copies, and maybe I've got one, Ed, for you to keep as the legal guy, and maybe I can just read this. Would that be all right? So we've talked about doing a 10-year lease with him with some options and some protection revisions for us. And so I'll read through this. January 1st, 2010 to December 30th, 2019. I think that's 10 years. A fee of $17.50 per month for the first 5 years and then $18.50 for the second 5 years on any weaned animal. And I'll comment about the strategies on this. I wanted to have something that at least went up a little bit. I think it's pretty well projected, and that animal grazing fees are not going to go up in the next 5 years, especially where our economy is. And I still don't know anybody who's paying over 8 to 10 per animal. And he felt like, hey, I'm really paying a premium. I felt like I was offering a premium, but I don't want necessarily something that goes up a lot. But I felt like, hey, in 5 years at least, it ought to go up another dollar. I'm pretty confident that during all of the time of this lease, this will be a pretty generous fee to us based on that. I've also structured it. It used to be he would pay every month, and he would rather, and I think we would rather, structure it as it reads here. Fees are to be paid with an estimated 50% when cattle are brought into the ranch in the spring and the balance due within 1 week of removing the cattle in the fall. And that's what he actually did this year, and he had a check to me before he had his last cows out that we've already deposited. So I think he's, you know, good to pay. That works out good for us and gets us the money in the bank account. Approximately 15 to 120 cattle will be placed on the ranch. 50 to 120. The metal will handle 50, maybe a little more as we do rotation and stuff, but we'd like to start, you know, doing some aggressive grazing out on some of these other areas. The longhorn cattle are really good to forage and to eat the brush and other things, and help a lot with fire prevention and stuff. So we'd like to start seeing that happen. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association is not responsible for cattle health, care, or loss. So we have full immunity there. The leasee, known as Hunt, is responsible for tracking the number of cattle with accurate dates in and out. Hunt is responsible for maintaining existing water systems and fences to keep cattle in. As we went through this, I think he needs to have some maintenance responsibilities for basically something that's in a certain condition, he needs to keep in a certain condition. However, areas that there is no fence now and we want to put a fence, or it's the last time it was worked on was 30 years ago, and there's, you know, four wires on the ground and none on any posts, that's our responsibility to tune up. But I felt like you need to have some maintenance responsibilities. Hunt will hold Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association harmless and assumes all liability for its operation on Deer Springs Ranch and condition of cattle. Hunt will have priority use of the wet meadow, lower meadow, and fish ponds. So those are kind of names that we've dreamed up maybe, but we have the meadow, and then we've this year moved the cows to the area that's in between the fish ponds and the fenced-in meadow. We're calling that the lower meadow, and then the fenced-in fish ponds area. Soon to be. Yeah. Hey, it kind of worked this year. And if you have fences on three sides, there's sometimes some issues there. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association will have the right to put other cattle on other areas of the ranch and to keep cattle out of designated areas where crops are being grown or rangeland improvements being made. So, and a lot of leasees would not agree to this, but we wanted the right and the flexibility to, you know, lease other areas or to say, hey, you can't use this area because we're growing, you know, the kosher this year or whatever. And so basically the only thing we're really committing to him that he has absolutely the right are the meadow areas, the fish pond area, and so forth. Hunt will estimate needs by January 15th of each year, and Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association will attempt to structure ranch use to accommodate Hunt's needs first before allowing other cattle. So basically, we're going to say to him, hey, you tell us how many you're going to use so we can backfill the rest of the ranch or decide what we're going to do in some of the areas with our leases and so forth. And I think that'll help us plan in advance enough that we can kind of do some things. It is the intent of both parties to create a nice western ranch atmosphere where both parties share in cattle movement activities and cattle events on the ranch. This is kind of something, you know, Shauna, for your area to kind of focus on. But again, we'd like to have some cows that if we want to have ranch members go up and herd a few cows around and move them over into Podunk and a week later move them back into the meadow or some of these things, that's okay. And Hunt's willing to work with us on those things, which again, they're not very many ranchers that would allow us to herd his cows around. But also, you know, we want to be able to work with him on, you know, managing rotation and some other things. So for us to be able to participate at no charge in cattle moving events, I think is quite a nice thing that we can start building on for our members. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association will encourage Hunt to hold cattle events such as the annual Texas Longhorn Showcase measurements and cattle drives. So this year we didn't get too far along that road, but he can advertise and set things up if he knows that he has this property so that we can have some of those. We did have, you know, a few people participate. I don't know, Paul, not a lot of participation on the cattle drive this year from taking them out, but
I don't know if it was advertised or if it was promoted a whole lot. But
tell us what you thought about the experience and what it would offer.
It's so easy to move. It's not like your regular cow herd. I mean, they get on the road and they just stay right on the road and they go wherever you tell them to go. It'd be a fun. They are smart.
The Longhorn cattle's herd like dogs. You know, you can yell at them and call them, and you know, his whole herd, for example, got out on the forest, and I, by myself, on foot, moved them all back into the meadow. You can't do that with most cows, so they're fairly easy to work with, but they're just their scenic aspects because of their color and horns is really, you know.
I had Jack and Ali out there whatever, and it was great. It was a good time.
So
I think that was
great pictures too.
Did he? Yeah. Was that
good?
Just walked up to him and
said, "Hi." Well,
he meant of the drive.
No, no.
Where were you? Satellite.
Okay, so continuing on, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association is responsible for new fences and water systems. Desired to enhance feed areas and improve the ranch and or protect crop areas. This includes initial repair of fences that have not been maintained prior to Hunt's lease. So we kind of went over that. Hunt is responsible to keep cattle on the ranch. I kind of feel like even though fences and everything aside, if cows are out, we need to be able to call and say, hey, you're responsible, or if there's any liability for a cow being out and causing problems on the forest or anywhere else, that needs to be his issue.
And not the response of, well, you're just going to have to live with it.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Which is the norm for Kane County.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question. When cattle get out and get on the national forest, I've heard that there's a fine involved there. Is that true?
I think there certainly can be. Dale can tell us how much fun they are to deal with. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted it clear. If cow's out, that's not our issue. That's his issue.
That's what I was getting through. Are we going to be a fine levied on us?
We have no responsibility for that. I think we will take some good neighbor responsibility and try to help. But this lease and the legal responsibility for his cows being on the forest is with him.
And they understand the lease part of it. They call me the same.
I thought Dale wanted his field sprayed.
They've been in there.
Let a couple of them out and let them graze a little bit.
Cattle management, rotation, feed areas, and fencing shall be managed cooperatively by both parties to allow for effective use of grazing areas. Both parties agree to work on rotation strategies each year. We have had leases in the past where basically everybody just went, hey, here's the great feed. We let the cows go to the great feed. And we want to force cows to eat things that they would maybe not choose to eat otherwise and rotate them around. And he's willing to work with that system. A lot of that will improve as we improve fences and stuff so that we have multiple pasture options and, you know, we're making some good headway there. He wanted this next paragraph, which I thought was fine. Hunt should be allowed to keep a motorhome, truck, and horse trailer at the ranch in approved areas. And so as he wants to come out and work with his cows, you know, he wants to be able to park something around. So
can we put something like out of use?
Well, we said in approved areas, so meaning we're going to tell him
here's where.
He had it right there at the ranch house.
Yeah, he wants something more up in the ranch, closer to where cows are, but we're going to make some parking areas and stuff probably up where the metal corrals used to be on the east side of the road or some other things. But the key is we're going to tell him where he parks.
Okay.
temporarily
can he go up to cabin 5?
We don't need to decide that in this meeting. The only thing we decided by this lease is we will tell you where you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, I just don't want you to motorhome sit down in the middle or something.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, I know his trailer, his camper is up at Trevor's.
Right.
And I don't know if he was going to bring it back or if it's a possibility to bring it back. I've talked to him quite a bit in the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's been okay so far where he want put him. We put him behind the ranch headquarters.
Yeah.
And so he's been real respectful. He just, you know, he appreciated that and wanted to be able to do something like that. The next paragraph I added in, you know, we had a good discussion. Ed had brought up a lot of concern about, you know, if there's an issue, we need to be able to cancel the lease. And so basically, if he violates any terms of the lease, we give him written notice and he has 60 days to cure that. And if he doesn't cure it, we can cancel the lease. And so, and this is basically, and legally needs to be with both parties can basically, you know, if either one of us,
he
can walk again. He can't walk for any reason other than,
non-performance.
Right. So failure to comply with the conditions of this lease are grounds for terminations of the lease. If lease is breached by either party, a 60-day notice to cure the breach condition may be given in writing to the party. If the conditions are not satisfied within the 60 days, the lease may be terminated by sending a termination notice. So if we start having problems, he's not working with our rotation, his cattle aren't being kept in the ranch, whatever, he parks his stuff where we don't want him to park it, we have the ability to rein him in.
What about that personal injury? I know the risk is low, but if somebody gets hurt, you know, I didn't see anything in here about his responsibility, you know, his cattle. I'm sure as a ranch, we probably have some sort of liability insurance for.
We have a liability policy on the ranch, and my guess, I'd be surprised if Hunt or most ranchers have any kind of insurance policy as far as liability goes to name us as an additional insurer.
I'm sure that the association is protecting me. Should somebody
right.
be gored? You know, we don't,
right.
We've already had a killer donkey incident. You know, we...
So I will modify the lease to add in a paragraph that says that he will... bear liability associated with any personal injury issue associated with cattle. Does that sound good?
If he doesn't have a general liability policy on it, I don't know that would stand, though. He should probably
Oh, yeah, it will stand. Whether he has insurance or not, it's his liability, and he can choose if he wants insurance.
If he had a policy and we have a policy, we're double insured. So if he has a general liability policy and we're additionally insured on his policy, and we have a policy...
Again, he's not going to have a policy, and I don't think it's right or fair for us to ask him to have a policy. And I don't know a single rancher. I've ranched, I've leased, I've done many... cattle leases for other property, have never seen one case where that kind of a policy existed.
Wow.
So,
you're not holding the van.
I know horse stables have it, but, you know.
Well, I'm sure if you were a property owner and were providing businesses like a horse stable, that would be a common place. You are going to have insurance on your property, and again, I can tell you 20 other cases of, yes, property owners having general liability policies on their ranches. But a leasee having an insurance policy, I guess somebody could pay enough to get a policy like that, but I've never seen one. And I don't feel like it's an obligation that we should put in anyways.
Okay.
So we will add in personal injury associated with cattle are his responsibility. So based on that addition, I would ask for a motion to move forward in approving this lease.
Can I just make a real quick comment?
Yep.
Is it possible to make a five-year follow-up?
I talked to him about that, and again, because we have the right to cancel it, and in my limited imagination, I can't see where in 5 years we would say, hey, we don't want cows on the ranch anymore,
well,
or that we would have...
Well, it is, but the clause is that if he doesn't stay to our rules, he's going
to
be out.
Well, but a rule or some condition would have to be breached. If we just didn't want Doug Hunt there,
right.
We'd have to lose 10 years.
Exactly. Can we think of any reason why that would not... would be the case?
Drought.
Well, but we've covered drought.
Okay.
He has to agree within managing our rangeland and everything that we have the right to all of those things. I mean, if we turned into a gold mine or something like that and we said, hey, we're mining gold, not cows anymore, I can see. Or if we said, hey, we want to run even our own herd, we could start building our own herd and limit him only to certain areas. I just don't see where we gain much. And kind of like Ben said in the last meeting, he's looking for a last 10-year commitment.
Right.
And I really think it would weaken a lot of the relationship and what we hope to gain from him if we said, hey, we'll give you 5 years, and in 5 years we'll, you know, consider renewing versus saying, here's 10 years, but we put every provision we can think of. Well, if we're not happy or you have to agree to things,
I think it's totally different than the goat lease.
And he's paying a little more of a premium.
Yeah, quite a bit. We won't be able to get that.
Right. So I don't know. We can say that, but I think it will really weaken our relationship and what we hope to see him do for the ranch. You know, if you're going to be out trying to build a program and do things, and it's only a five-year program,
going
to change how much energy you put into it.
I mean, if it's such a great mutual relationship, you should have no fear that in 5 years we'll renew. I mean, if it's that good.
There's going to be a different board, and I tell you, he has that fear.
We can go ahead with the vote.
What would be the concerns, though? Are we missing something?
Right.
We had no concern with Robinson's in it, and it was tragic. Not tragic, but that's the wrong word to use. It was a pain in the rear. Yeah, and then we had Ole, and hey, great. He's going to get rid of the willows in the meadows with the goats, and John will tell you. Wasn't good. And we ended up having to pay for him to leave. You know, and I'm just here to protect the association. That's why I'm here. Well, we all think at the beginning of this. But my job is...
Well, but we gave him a one-year period,
right.
And we only did one
right.
year to see how does it go.
Right.
With the idea
did
that...
Did we pay anything to Ole to get rid of him?
Yeah, we paid $2,500 or something like that.
Did we?
Yeah, we paid $1,000.
I didn't.
Because
I don't think that was ever paid.
I didn't.
Oh, you never paid it?
No,
oh, okay.
I don't think we really paid
it. Okay, we voted for it.
I know we voted for it, but it didn't ever come to pass.
Oh, okay.
That was wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we voted for it if it were a necessary thing to just entice him out here to help him pay for the cost of moving them.
Now we know where that extra $2,000 came from.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey.
All right, we can both.
Okay.
Anybody want a motion?
I'll motion. Bill,
sorry, I didn't mean it.
I know.
As written.
Okay.
I'll motion.
As amended.
Right, as amended with that in the personal injury.
Okay.
No, I'll second it.
Second. It's been motioned and seconded.
Are you guys getting any things in the,
happens right on it.
Meeting minutes, and, you know, so they have to remember who did what. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any who oppose? Aye.
Is that unanimous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, I have a suggestion. If you want me to write notes during the meeting and you type them up later,
okay,
I can help you do that.
That would be fabulous.
Look at it, sparkle in his eye.
And a grin from ear to ear.
Think of it as putting the appropriate number of screws into a roofing panel.
I can think that way. I like that.
Okay, good. Sorry that took a little longer. But I'll start in the next one. Wildlife management. Larry was going to be here, and he said that he had to thought something that he was going to do in Cedar City would be later tonight, and he had to leave at noon. So he asked if we could put that on to next month's agenda.
Okay.
Roads and fire protection, Brent.
Okay. Couple things. Did you get over to see Hugh Wolf?
I did. And I have a great report for you.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and go into that before we...
All right. I spent time with Hugh Wolf. He gave me this map. I think he was thinking the map that we needed, but it's not the map that
No,
we
it's
need.
Not. Okay.
So anyway, it's another map that's nice to have. For our files was a map that Dale had Richard Kimball do that was a Title V before we did our other Title V. This is the, and this is still valid Title V,
right.
But this is the map now.
Okay.
And he did pull up on his computer and verify that Slide Canyon is not.
Okay.
It's not on this map, and it's not on their computer map.
Okay.
So I will scan this and email this to everybody, and I think it's on our website.
It is, but like I said, we had the for some reason or other we had that Slide Canyon as part of our map, but it's nice to have the one that is the.
I asked him about the culvert situation in this, what do we call this road here?
I call it the Brown's Homestead Road,
where it goes up around this little canyon here.
That's going to Podunk?
Yeah.
No.
And the old road goes straight. And I said, when we get cleaning this up, do we use the old road or this workaround? And he thought, according to this highly detailed map, that probably the old road would be best because it doesn't show any kinks in it.
Okay. All
but,
right.
But on the other hand, I think the road that we're producing now does show the kink
right.
in it. But he said that he sees no problem with us putting the culvert in and just making it through straight like it used to be.
Okay.
Based on this highly technical map. But the and then I asked him, well, what about the disturbance width? If we put in a culvert that's, you know, 20 feet long and we maybe have some disturbance outside of that. And so he looked in his file. Most of the Title V's have, say, a width, you know, 50 feet wide, 30 feet wide, 16 feet wide, whatever it is. That he can look up on the computer, but because our Title V was these combinations of roads, apparently each of them has their own width, and
yes.
So it just says various sizes. And so he has to order the file from somewhere, and so he said he would order the file, so we probably shouldn't put culverts in. I told him we're going to try to put the culverts in at Lick Wash and also at this big wash. And so he said he would get the file for you, and if we checked back with him, he said it was no big deal, but he thought we'd probably be fine, but just wanted to kind of double check.
Okay.
The other thing, because we do not have the Slide Canyon Title V, and we all, I think, agree we really want that, he asked if you would go ahead and add that to your existing application that
okay.
you're working on for the Scudamore Road, and that we would, he didn't think there would be any problem with us getting
okay.
that.
All right.
But he said rather than do a separate application for that,
okay.
he said even if we cancel our Scutumpah Title V because the county picks that back up, that'll be fine.
Right.
That he can cancel that and still keep the Slide Canyon one.
Okay.
So the Slide Canyon one, I think we'll always want to maintain a little more than the county may, even if the county was normally doing something. So to me,
right.
that's fairly critical that we pick up the Slide Canyon Title V. And hopefully we can get some real favorable treatment on their fees. Right now because of the work that they've done. So that's what I found out from him.
Okay. Now, was there any discussion with, the letter that we got from Mark about
the whole correspondence there? I tried to line up and still will try. I think we need to have a meeting with Commissioner Habeshaw and Harry Barber and ourselves to discuss this Title V and maintenance of the Scutumpah roads. And so I did go up and meet with them. I went over these letters that Commissioner Habeshaw provided for me, but just was not able to, in between the time we got notice of this 2 or 3 days ago and now, to get a meeting together with the commissioner and with the BLM. I don't think that it will change what we're doing, and having met with just at least one of the parties and have had some emails back and forth with the commissioner, I don't think it changes at all what we're doing as far as our application process. However, there may be some, as a third party, that we can help them talk and coordinate some things that without us being involved, both sides seem to have some sincerity about getting together, and both sides have asked me to help them get together.
Well,
so I think that's a good thing.
If we can act as arbitrators and maybe
yeah.
and maybe do a little bit of prodding on both sides.
So that's kind of what I see our role there, is kind of just to be there, share our concerns, and help them work together. I generally have a pretty good feeling that the local BLM office is fairly supportive and have told me many times we'd be happy with an RS-2477 or whatever on this, but we can probably help them reach some common agreements there, and or maybe some interim solutions to help with maintenance while they're working on their agreements. So I felt encouraged by that. So does everybody kind of agree that we should keep pursuing that and trying to get them to work together? So that was that.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That'll help me when I get down to the Title V thing. All right. What Dirk was talking about, the alternative route over to the Johnny Brown area, that's that Browns Homestead Road. And we're looking at taking some of those old concrete culverts and piecing them together in a couple, three places, and putting one in the wash there where the road actually diverts around the wash. And the other one is going to be in Lick Wash itself, that runs right behind or on the kind of on the east side, or excuse me, west side of the Podunk area. So, anyway, we're working on that.
And maybe that big metal culvert that's at Half Moon for the one.
And unless we got
unless
other plans
we have
for that.
Other plans for it. I don't.
Oh, dare touch that.
Dale, I drive by it every day. You can't tell me it's invisible.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
our thought was, and I met with the government group up there yesterday, to take that big culvert and let the water out of the silt retention pond down to the bottom so it stops eroding and cutting there along the county road. That's what we hope to use that culvert for. when we found out that it was available. The group that was there yesterday would like to see a rock chute slide to let the water down rather than a culvert. But that culvert would handle a flush of water there along the county road and stop some of the erosion. So see where you decide to use it.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll come up with, you know, I'm pretty confident we can make those old concrete culverts work if we need to, and piece them together, use some quick patch in them, you know, use some fabric around the joints, and make them completely serviceable and functional.
We looked at those and about putting them, we've designed a driveway down below the headquarters, and then onto both those benches. That work was done, finished up today about noon, and to cross that stream down there, possibility of using a couple of those concrete culverts.
Yeah, and we should have plenty to do both, you know, all the projects that we've got mm-hmm. planned, plus getting them out of the
yard.
Out
of the yard.
We'll clean things up.
I can't move.
They're heavy, without a doubt. Metal Canyon Road, Alan's pulling his equipment out next week, either next week or the first of the following week. And so when he's done with that, what he's going to do is he's going to come in, and he's going to do a grading of the road all the way up to the Crawford turnoff and then up all the way up Crawford Canyon to Phil Hall's lot. Okay. Now, Paul's been keeping track of the hours on the grader. That charge goes to Phil. He's the one who'll have to pay for it. The spring gravel that Alan's going to haul in the locations. And I've already told him where we'd like to drop some. If there's anywhere else, let me know. But I'm trying to get him to do those soft spots, place that he's softened up. And he says that's no problem. And he'll, before his equipment goes, that's what he'll start doing, dropping it and grading it out. But he also has up there right now a compactor, a big drum roller.
All right.
And anyway, he was wondering, because I don't know if anybody's aware, but, and it was a brilliant move by all means, they've changed the Crawford Canyon turnoff now to where it goes straight so you don't have to go around a tight corner. Turned out great. Just turned out wonderful.
Good.
And it's a great straightaway. Dale will tell you it's going to be so much better than the old going around the corner thing.
We'll have to look your trailer.
Yeah, you really will. Yeah. Anyway, so Alan was wondering with that and that other cut that Clark did down there on
Broad Hollow.
Yeah, right near Broad Hollow. If once we get that gets all graded and stuff, when he's bringing that compactor down, if he wanted us to go over that. Those two cuts with that compactor and compact them in. He didn't say how much. He didn't think it would take that long, minimal charge. I told him that I would ask. I think it's probably a really good idea just to do it because it would. That one area that Clark just cut over there by the Broad Hollow thing, that is a pretty rocky area. You know, I think that's going to consolidate pretty good. But the other place that he cut there at the Crawford Canyon turn, that stuff there. He had to move a lot of material there. And it seems, of course, it'll be easier to see what happens when the after this moisture came in. What was that like coming down this morning? Was it good and solid?
I was going to comment. I think it's fine. I think the winter moisture will do every bit that the compactor would do.
Okay.
I think compactor's kind of a waste of time. But I'd like for some of you to drive a little stretch across the forest up west of Red Reservoir and see what a difference those cinders made. I was on it three times this morning, and along the east side of the meadow is the slick and slimy that just scares you to death. And up the other way with the cinders, no slippage at all. With the, I wanted to wait till we had moisture to evaluate what the cinders do and if they, if it does what I think. That may be a lot less expensive way to top some of our ranch roads and get rid of the slick clay than even gravel and some of the other treatments. So some of you that are up there, you may go ahead and drive that little stretch of forest ground up toward my cabin and compare it. I was shocked at the difference as I was on both the roads this morning.
And that used to be a real quagmire there.
Along the east edge of the meadow, it just was almost uncontrollable. What was your comment?
Isn't that where the water comes down off the forest across to that area?
Well, I'll give a report on the water here in a minute. There's some fun things there.
But I mean, isn't that where that soft spot was going to that cabin? Because it kind of soaked up right in there?
No.
Yeah, it was always just a real
a nasty road.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of the clay soils there, and so didn't take a lot of water to
make it really
bad. And I think that's from the Crawford Pass up to the top of the gate is a lot that same kind of soil, right, Brent?
Yeah.
That's the area that we would maybe consider putting cinders on.
We need to get the cinders over by Alice.
Yeah, they're out there on the ranch.
Yeah, we got right on the ranch. All those cinders came from right on the ranch.
Kind of along these lines, the cut that they made, do we need some gravel on there, or will that be enough rock this winter, people traveling back and forth? Is it compact enough, or should we have a couple loads screened and dumped up there?
The cut below Crawford turnoff when you took the hut up?
There and
the upper cut that they made, it was no gravel before, and it's no gravel now. It probably doesn't change it much, but the one that they made lower, I think, has a lot of rock in it.
Broad Hollow didn't have any slippage there this morning.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the cinder, I know I used to live in Oregon when I was a kid, and they used to put cinder down on the roads up there. Cinder is jagged.
Right.
Therefore, it'll pack and hang. And where the stuff we're taking out here, screening, are marbles.
Mm-hmm.
And marbles don't pack, they roll. And we do compaction around the pools or drives down there. We use a mix of crushed gravel and of various sizes and some dirt, and it packs as hard as asphalt. And but if it's round, it doesn't.
Well, some have questioned the gravel that we've been using.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to tell you it's marvelous. The coming down through there to tell the difference between this section, this section, this section.
Well, I like
the ranch road has been marvelously improved during the last 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the slickest part is that through the oak up along beside the meadow.
Yeah,
and we've got to do something on that.
Really slick. Okay.
And then there's all the other slight canyons.
You can almost
stuff.
Sweat on it, and that's enough to make it slick.
Yeah.
there's all the other slight canyons, but who lives in slight canyons? So why do we care?
Anyway, so
Alan's going to clean up Meadow Canyon. That'll be and like I say, if we don't need any compaction done, he'll just get his stuff out of there. But he will grade it. He will drop material on those soft spots.
I think
created. That's
the key. If you make sure that he's getting, tuning it up, and you're kind of the gatekeeper of that.
Well, we'll make sure that.
He wanted to wait until there was a little moisture.
All
right, now I've started working on the Title V. I haven't put a huge amount of effort into it yet because when I first started working on it, we started getting this stuff from Mark and the county and then the BLM and going back and forth. But I'll start working on it. If nothing else, it might provide that a little additional boost of incentive of let's cooperate.
Up, huh?
Yeah, let's cooperate a little bit more.
Jody Akers will tell you that trying to get a hold of people in the Broad Hollow area and get have them get back to you on anything is very difficult. So, I'm proposing that we make a slight change in our fire tests where we do, where the BLM comes in, and then we do some, and they go on the public side, and we go on the private side and clean things up. But I have got a commitment from Paul Ford, who owns Lot 118, which is right next to mine, and he has absolutely no problem with us going along the easement there into 30 feet into Lot 118, and then whatever the BLM wants to do on their side. Of course, I have no problem with it. I've offered my lot up as that thing. Right north of me, and this is the map, and it's not. I mean, this is not perfectly accurate, but it's close. This is my lot here. Here's 118. This is an association, 20 acres. Mm-hmm. It's directly north of me. And and then we have all this area along here. Anyway, what I was going to propose, because it will be so much easier dealing with the board than trying to get a hold of a lot of people, is we might want to consider doing and this will actually be more invisible from places than this area along here, is we might want to talk to the BLM about doing their treatment right through here and down through here. I'm still working on trying to get responses back from these other property owners along here.
And that's maybe not a bad idea. You know, Ben and I drove up the road that you kind of
cleaned up.
Nice job there. And we, that whole canyon up there, in the flat, all the brush that's in there and everything, if we can do anything to get rid of all of the brush in there, there's probably a lot of enhanced views and wildlife and cattle grazing and everything that we could get from going up there.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know if there's a way to keep tying in things like that too while you're doing this.
That's actually, and one of the advantages we have is that you know, you guys went all the way to the end where the wash stops you.
Yeah, anyway, is that where the Title V is according to the map? Where the wash stops?
Yes, where the wash. That's where the Title V runs from that wash.
It kind of looked like the road maybe 30 years ago went through the wash.
Right, it did.
But,
and that's one of the things that I've discussed at some length with Dale and Earl Levanger about actually pushing the road all the way over into the Slide Canyon, or up, I refer to it as Upper Broad Hollow because it isn't really Slide Canyon, over into the Upper Broad Hollow area where that real heavy sage and rabbit brush is. I think it would be a great ATV route, and it would be an alternate escape ingress-egress route, and in just the last few years, one of the worst fires we had was right up there. And that's the one where they actually had to come in and do, they did about four or five major, 2,000 gallon water drops up in there to stop it. And so, but the road did, yes, the road did extend on beyond that point. So, and, while we're talking about that, I cleaned that up. I didn't do anything special. I just ran up there trying to get most of the weeds out and ran back down. And it's a nice ATV road, just goes up and dead ends. But I'm thinking that we might want to, unless I can get some better cooperation as far as people getting back to me, we might want to, do this as a.
That seems good to me. There's a couple of really nice ponderosa stands right about where those lines would be that I'd. But I think their whole thing is they're going to mark things. We're going
right.
to look at it. We're going to say, we don't like all these ponderosas cut out.
Yeah, yeah, and those things is where we can. Those are where we can leave islands.
Yeah,
So and anyway, so I'm working on the.
What does everybody think about that? Yeah. Do they think that line? Yeah. Do you think that line? the north area, did you see on the map?
Oh, either one of them, sorry.
So I that would probably be easier to coordinate and easier to see. Because even looking where you had the back of those lines there, it would be tough to kind of, you'd almost have to hike it, and there's no real good views to see the difference.
Well, exactly.
Why don't we just make it easy for him and make a motion and let him do it?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I'd like to make the motion, let him carry on with it so we can get that finished.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Woo-hoo, that was easy.
Yeah, wow. There you go.
All right, anyway, I'm working on the community fire plan. There's a lot of information in here in relation to asking responsible parties, and it talks about developers and stuff like that. But I needed to ask Dale directly. Dale, do you have a problem with me listing you as the developer of Deer Spring?
No.
Okay.
That's factual.
Well, it is factual. however, I didn't want to overstep my bounds with, you know, because I know that, you know, we're actually, I think Deer Springs will always be in a development phase regardless.
You bet.
But we are out of the official developer phase, area, time, whatever. But I'd like to use you as a resource contact person, if that's okay.
Good.
Okay. All right. Anyway, this thing is going to take me pretty much all winter. I'll be contacting all of you collectively and then individually to get information as we fill this thing out. Remember that any kind of a master plan is never set in stone. It's always a fluid document, because people change, you know, board members change, you know, certain areas of responsibility change and all that stuff. But, so I'll be contacting you with each of these, you know, with this information. If we have this in place next spring, or we have a working document next spring, it'll go, as per our discussions with Earl, it'll go a very long way to help us get our this matching funds, which I'm now going to talk to you about. If you have done any work, and Dale is an excellent record keeper, so I'm not worrying about him at all, but I've spoken to a couple other people who have done some limbing and trimming and paid for it. Ken Lent, of course, Larry Murphy passed away, but he was a pretty good record keeper. I'm hoping that I can get some records from his sister or Justin.
Sandy Johnson.
Anyway, if we can apply the amount of work that somebody's done on their lot right now, as far as fire prevention, fire control, limbing and trimming, undergrowth removal, that kind of stuff, and we can apply there. We can actually, if you have a record of the amount of time and or money you've spent paying someone to do it, they'll give you credit for like $20 an hour for the individual to do it. So, you know, all the thousands of hours you spent in
Larry ought to be able to qualify.
Yeah, well, without question. And unfortunately, I've spoken to them already, and Larry's only worth $15 an hour.
What?
You're
getting double.
But, no kidding. Anyway, if you can, and you're a good one to be here for this, if you can start looking at the amount of hours you've spent in sagebrush, you know, clearing sagebrush and those kind of things, all of those things we can ultimately apply and seek and receive matching funds from the government.
State or federal?
We can get some from the state, some from the
federal. No, federal.
Yeah. Anyway, but we can get matching funds for it. And then the other thing is, if we're showing a concerted effort on our fire community plan, our community fire plan, Earl, the state just purchased a great big track-driven brush chipper. They will bring that out here. If we will cut, and even on the private land, if we will cut and pile our debris in a particular way, they will bring a crew and their chipper out and chip the stuff. And we should be able to get it done for no charge, because we've done the limbing and trimming
they'll do the chipping and as a reciprocal arrangement type thing. So anyway, any member who's done work on their property, like Sandy Johnson, like Larry, like the work that I've done, and Ken Lent, he's got it done on his.
Fred Searle.
Larry Murphy. These are all valuable. But what we need to do is have you guys, or have everyone start compiling the amount of hours and or money that they've spent in doing this, and then we can get a...
And turn it into Brent.
And we can then we can use that when we... When we go into our...
So if we hear a rumor of somebody doing something, encourage them to just send Brent either their hours or their costs.
Exactly.
Did we pay to have the goats on the round?
Well, if we would have paid, we could have counted it.
Yeah. Actually, there's some creative accounting, and that $2,000 that we don't know where it's going or where it came from. So anyway, that's where we stand right now. All of this stuff is we're in the works. It's in the works, and it's being worked on. And I will be contacting you collectively and individually to get your to get information and stuff. And then one of the other things that we need to look at here too is it has a resource list of things and it talks about having local contractors who might be resources as far as things go. And I will get with you, but I was going to list Larry, even though he's not doing contracting anymore, but he does have equipment. Brent Robinson, Nolan Button, blah 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 blah. And so, but I'll get before I start doing all that stuff, I'll get with you guys, and we'll go from there.
Now, is this still a 3-year process after you turn in all the papers?
For the BLM, it is, yes. For the feds, it, yes. For the state, no. The state can it moves a lot. It can move a lot quicker.
Oh.
And so that we'll start working on that. That could next summer. So, anyway, that's it.
I think every ranch holding around have one of those babies.
Uh-huh.
Is that water or gas?
Linda has to leave. Is there anything that anybody has for Linda before she leaves?
The stuff that I ordered from Northern Tool was with a credit card. Same thing with the thing with Ahern, that second receipt that I got. The first one.
Not hack. That one you didn't pay, correct?
No.
I thought you had paid it.
Build
yeah, they did though. I thought you had paid initially.
So just so you know that there's credit cards.
I thought. I've got it far on the way.
Okay.
My list of priorities that I think for the ranch.
Okay, great.
Right.
Thank you.
Shauna?
Okay, we'll do it really fast because we gotta go. Okay. You got ranch activities with the South RV pads, other activities. Well, we did talk about RV pads a long time ago. Cookouts were doing, they were doing great. They still have a few changes, but they have some really good cooks. I taste them really awesome. Okay,
and I think this year will be better because everybody knows about it now.
Now they're starting, starting to pick up.
It was great this year.
It's true. Okay, some ideas that I have. Well, I know we talked about RV pads and there were locations that we talked about probably up by the...
Rocket.
Thank you. Is it the rocket? I thought we were talking about it by the airport, on that wide spot before you drop down into the pit, gravel pit. A couple places there.
Right.
They're kind of all out of view. Where they have people parking already anyway.
Right.
Anyway, we can talk more about that because I didn't have that on this list. Anyway, I have some ideas. A place where we can have not just like our board meetings, but when people have business meetings that they could come to the ranch and have a... that we talked about before, kind of like, at the ranch headquarters, we have a building big enough that they can have some kind of a conference. If they have business meetings where they can come to the ranch, like they do at other resorts, other places they go to have a business meeting, people would really probably like to come to the ranch. That might be something that we could... We're thinking of things for income.
We just had the foot stone therapy thing, and they were looking for kind of a big place to...
We just have something that, And they like to be outside, you know.
Would a pavilion be kind of in that class?
Probably have to be enclosed because things I'm thinking of are people that come into conferences. They go to, they rent places in Las Vegas and St. Louis and all those types of places, but it might be masseuse therapy, you know what I'm saying, or something, or they're going to do that type of thing and that they would come to a place like the Wind just to help. Artists or that type of thing where they come into a conference. It could be
photography.
Photography class.
Well, here's the question I think we need to decide on. There are improvements that we want to make on the ranch for our members. Like, I think everybody says we want to get some pavilions going. And that's why Dave Turley's really on the board. And so you know, those are improvements that we can do and our members enjoy. They aren't really going to be a revenue-producing activity necessarily. Maybe there will be some indirect things. But how much are we willing to get into or wanting to get into bringing people to the ranch that have no membership whatsoever, no ownership whatsoever, but to host activities that bring in income that could then help either build things that our members would want and use, like pavilions or whatever, or offset and reduce our annual assessment fees. And if we do that, for example, I think there's two or three different strategies. One strategy might be someone say, hey, none of it at all. If you're not a member, don't get a foot off of the county road. We don't want you, and this is a private ranch. Others may say, hey, if they're off the county road in the well field, or they're, you know, off the county road in the area where we're now storing junk and nobody can see, so they're pretty transparent to the ranch membership, who cares? Let's make all the money we can as long as they're, you know,
invisible.
Fairly invisible, you know, as far as the activities. That's kind of personally how my feelings are, as long as they're, you know, not changing the characteristics of the ranch, it would be good to have some activities. Others might say, hey, even if they change the characteristics of the ranch a lot, as long as they're just on the common areas, they're not on my 20 acres, I don't care if there's people fishing at the fish pond or flying their helicopters into the air pad, whatever. And so, but it's somewhere along this spectrum in between, you know, anything goes and nothing goes, we need to decide. And we're already in that because we already ran out cabin time to non-members for our profit of the association, which competes with members' time. But yet, you know, we're not, we still, I don't think, have any real conflict, and we're bringing in a little extra revenue. If we started marketing that heavily and doing more along those lines, we could probably still take that a long ways before we would have a lot of conflict with members. But somehow, Shauna, in this whole umbrella, and as we set our budget next year for revenue activities, see, last year we had listed quite a few revenue activities that really didn't bring in any revenue. So what are the activities that we're going to do that might be just fun for the members? Like,
if you let me face my list, I'll do that.
Yeah, okay. So if you'll kind of somehow determine and help us determine how public is the ranch.
Okay. And the only reason I did that, I only have a couple for money because of that very fact, okay? And the rest of this is mostly just for members. But I thought that meeting wouldn't be something very heavily impact on the ranch. Because we have the motorcycle groups or the 4x4 clubs or wherever they come out, maybe their little race for a weekend, we make a little bit of money. If we have our campers come out, the Boy Scouts or whatever, and that's kind of like our community service. And Anyway, the other things I had tonight, and I'm just throwing out ideas. So as you pick up some of these ideas, we may decide to go with them or maybe not. We thought about maybe doing a safari. As the wild animals, you see the horses and whatever else. We could take people like on like a hayride safari or whatever and say, okay, we're going to go look at the longhorn cows and this is where the deer are, da-da-da-da. And as we have the pet zoos and things like that, some people are just really all into the animal thing. But if just we could call it the safari, we could call it a hayride, I mean, do hayrides, just something to get people there. We'll pick a day that we do during the summertime, maybe just for the month of June or something like that, okay? I think they were working on those, not diving boards, but we called them the, we used to have a diving
docks.
Board. The docks out at the pond, and they've been working on that now, haven't they?
David's family pretty well finished up the one on the lower pond here a couple of weeks ago.
Middle pond. Yeah. There's some zip line posts up there now.
That's a good thing.
And that's cool. And then there was another one I had on along that line was like having what they call a canoe clobber. So people come out there and they bring their little canoes and we can have like races. You know what I mean? Like, so we get three or four people or even they have a little kayak or something that you could have races along out on the pond. That's not going to hurt anything. And swim and we can have some water activities. It's fun to have some of those little aluminum boats or little canoes or something like that put out for people to use. I went to one of the sites where we did a family reunion and they had a lot of canoes where people just go out, they put on life jackets and they paddled around in the pond and had right in the middle of the pond, they had a slide so that we could get off of this canoe and get on a little floating island and slide off into the water. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. That was a big hit. We can do horseshoe tournaments and the softball tournaments and that type of thing. So we could do have it once a year or whatever it is and have a big to-do on. Everybody wants to get in a horseshoe tournament, come up, they'll pay, I don't know, $50, $25, whatever it is. You can get a T-shirt. Then you can end up with a trophy. So we'll have a team, like a big all-day thing, you know, or a couple days tournament. Well, people could maybe, the ones that are at the ranch at the time, will come in. How do you do a pig feed? Oh, you mean a cookout.
Back home, they used to have annual
pig feed
and horseshoe tournament, and everybody pitches in, you know, $25, $30. That includes a T-shirt, and, you know, money goes to...
A pit bait. Yeah, we do it in a pit.
But you advertise it now. See, the problem I'm looking at, as far as activities, is that you get the Moriartys from Ohio. They're here a couple times a year. If they know that, hey, there's a tournament and a pig feed on July 4th, they might change their reservation from August back to July. Or, you know, change their schedule
We use those in the off-season a little bit to bring people in.
So. You advertise it in town. This is kind of getting non-members out to advertise it in town. Hey, there's a big feed at the ranch, the deer thing.
We talked about the cattle drive. I'm moving quickly. I've got to get to them again. Hey, we had ideas of doing the cattle drive that you talked about, you know, getting people either at the end of the year or even, like you said, just take some of them and go out to Podunk and then come back. They'd have a blast right out there. Even if they camped out in their sleeping bags, spent the night and turn around and drive them back home. That would be fun.
Kind of along those lines, if like what Mel Heaton does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has people that take people on horseback, but Mel Heaton meets them at a certain area. Well, if we're doing a cow drive down to Perea or down to Perea instead of taking them to Trevor's, I could meet them, Nancy could meet them with the truck and have a barbecue and camp out. And I would just kind of make it a big to-do kind of deal with Doug. And just
on that line, there was a fellow that contacted me 4 years ago who wanted to have people come in on a ride and maybe the place to toss some water and do something like that and then go on. So that's, it never panned out, you know, but along those ideas, I mean,
But I think advertising it before, like right now, next year at this time, this is...
We'll make a schedule. We'll make a schedule and tell people what they are so we can send it out on the internet. Yeah. You know, and just say, these are the things that are going to happen at this time. And
right.
The rest
I think
of
that's
beef it up a little bit.
Okay.
That's critical for sure. So we need to do that.
Absolutely do.
Okay, another idea, boat floats. If you go out, if you go to the lake, we can do things like go down and they can make a little, just like the Cub Scouts do, make them out of the, what do you call it, 2 liter pop cans or whatever, and make sail boats and sail them across the pond. I mean, there's a lot of really fun things that kids could do. You could do competitions. They could do, you could even have a day, a Saturday, where we do fence repair. You know, these kids, I remember when we were little, we do fence repair all over. It wasn't so terrible to go out and have a whole bunch of them get on a string on a post and straighten and tighten up those fence, you know, the barbed wire, things like that. And it's cool when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. You go out and everybody hang out. Isn't that a good idea?
All like that. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how these kids are going to do with their video game thumb.
Yeah.
Well, give them those little wrench things.
Yeah,
we might have horse races or dog races or bunny rabbit races, turtle, anything that they've got, little animals they collect, get them, bring them, they can come, bring out a rabbit if they've got pets, you know. I got tons of ideas. So they could be classic checkers, like only you play it in the dirt, and it's kind of a really, obviously, have this. Anyway, there's a lot of really fun things we could do. It's just that we got to, like you said, we'll put them on a schedule. We'll try to make up some. We'll start with a few, and then we can tell them what weekends these are going to happen or during what days. That'll be during the summertime. Hey,
I think the master plan of the ranch should be a rodeo arena down at headquarters.
Absolutely. And that would be a money maker.
Have your,
everybody bring your own horse.
I can get cows there. I can get bulls there. I can get people that want a rope. People that
find
want
a rope.
Ride. And have your deer springs up yet?
You could end up with a rodeo. I think it'd be kind of fun.
We need to rebuild the house anyway. Let's just build an arena.
You can have a chili cook-off contest. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah.
You can have a gardening thing. You can bring in your biggest pumpkin. Everybody can throw it out on the ranch.
Yeah.
But Larry's always going to win. But we just could try.
Larry could...
You guys don't want to get me started with some of my ideas. I've got 100 of them.
We can do scavenger hunts, you know, send them out on a list. There's stuff all over the way so we can gather stuff.
Brent, if it's legal, that cuts your list way down.
We were all in the same
We'll just fly under the radar, folks.
As long as it doesn't involve donkeys.
I could see it was an inspired thing to put you in this category here, John.
Well,
you have more ideas than I could even...
And one more was called the Arctic Boot Camp. So during the wintertime, there's things that we could do. We actually could get people to go if they wanted to. We could build snow forts and we could bring in our snowmobiles and all that kind of stuff. We could do a winter
You need to add rattlesnake roundup. I think that would be really fun.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All kinds of rattlesnake Friday, or can't we? Well, I was doing. Don't do that.
Shauna, can I add a couple that we've done?
Yeah.
Like extreme games where we had a day where a youth group was there and then we did a bicycle race from the pinks down to the pond, and then we did something at the pond where we crossed it. And just a series of games, but it was organized, and it was fabulous, and we had families of teams and whoever, and then we had a relay race. And that was fun. Dirk and Loretta, a long time ago, mentioned doing mountain biking tours, promoting that. You need horses for any of the horse events, the cattle drives. That's if we're going to use big ponies, we're going to need something. So that has to be in the mix, horses somehow.
I got horses on here, so we can have horse races. We can have, like, all kinds of things I think that we could do, and I like the idea of the rodeo. But anyway, so we'll have to implement a few and see how many we can actually put in this year. We'll try it. We'll make a list and try to.
I think that's maybe the next thing, Shauna. You got a lot of great ideas. Maybe you can say, "Hey, next year, here's a draft," and maybe if we could ask you next year to bring a draft calendar of events or something like that.
Next month.
So, because I think the key is to say, you know, here's, okay, this year we didn't do any of these events, you know, other than the cookout, and it wasn't advertised a lot. So next year we're going to do the Cal Drive, we're going to do this Olympics Games Day, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to have, you know, every Friday night, the cookouts, and here's the fee and stuff. And if we just put that out there, then we can start refining that year after year and say, well, these were the events that worked really good. You know, it's kind of part of my passion, but, you know, I really enjoyed going out there for the motorcycle races, and I'm not sure why they discontinued or if that was just something that Barbara Button kind of personally helped host or what happened there, but
we had them before.
We had
them
quite a few times. Yeah,
it was I
think it was Dale White.
That was the problem.
And Frank is now the governor's representative on off-road vehicles. So Frank is in an excellent place to set this up and continue much more aggressively than we've ever had before with the Desert Foxes as the group that has been down there, I guess, three different times now.
And they were fine. It was a lot of fun.
They didn't do much damage or anything.
Well, they seem to be a responsible group. You know, things worked out fairly well. But I think a lot of our events will be just like Knab's Western Legends. They become better refined if you know, have them year after year. Instead of, I did this one for 2 years, and now I'm doing this one for 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. We can't do a whole bunch. I'm just throwing some ideas out.
Yeah,
so
we know that
the
50 ideas that you brought out have to be screened down.
One of the biggest activities we had up there, however, was there's a Cycle World magazine for your motorcycles. The editor of Cycle World had been taking all the advertisers of all the different Kawasaki different machines to Baja for a week. And they take all their new machines and they exchange, I mean, they experiment on each other. And they had to, so they called us and said, could we come to Deer Springs? And they brought two semi trucks with all the new equipment, and there was about 45 people from Chicago, Detroit, and we set up a big tent and fed them, took care of them. They paid us $7,000 that weekend.
And
we identified little loops. They decided, and they'd take trail number one, trail number two, trail number... We had about seven different little loop trails, and they used each other. They were experimenting and enjoying each other's new machines. But boy, they had thousands of dollars worth of new machines that they unloaded out of that those two semis.
Yeah, but they'd have to let us use them.
But they really had a royal time, and the thought was that they would come back other years. In the file, I've got the names of whoever it was then, but that's all perhaps changed. But the magazine still is published, and they still do an annual free-for-all for all their advertisers, and I think there'd be a good possibility of getting them back to Deer Springs.
Okay, think about that.
Well, as long as it's not two busloads of people from Psycho World, I'm okay.
Psycho?
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so keep refining those then, and... see if we could get a calendar draft for next meeting, okay? Legal and public safety, Ed.
Yeah, I've been in contact with John Southwick. He was the point of contact for the lawsuit, the paperwork and stuff. He was supposed to, I contacted him two independent times, and he's supposed to send me the stuff. He hasn't done it yet. I haven't been in contact with him recently, but I will. And the second thing was is that years ago, Dale brought up a limited liability company for doing all our high-risk activities. So I've been researching limited liability companies and what it's going to require on our part. I think we can probably do it. Well, obviously we can do it. The problem is how deep we want to go. Do we want to make one umbrella company? Do we want to leave Deer Springs Ranch Association alone? And do we want to do different high-risk activities as a limited liability company on themselves? So
I think we voted as a membership one time to do three limited liability companies.
Okay.
And I could check the records and find out what kind of horseback riding.
With one, right.
With one group.
Pardon?
To limit the liability of whatever happens in that category.
Okay.
I don't remember the others.
Bonds would be a good,
yes.
Probably a good one. Because of the inherent risk of somebody drowning or...
It would just give us a couple extra liability shields for things that's happening up there.
The cost isn't much. You know, it's filed with the state. It's treated as a... the paperwork. As a matter of fact, if you want to look, Wikipedia has a good initial primer on limited liability companies, real good. And, you know, the state attorney general, you file with him, and it seems to be pretty straightforward. I would recommend, you know, going outside and getting a lawyer to handle it, obviously. You know, they have self-help kits, but, you know, we may miss something that we don't want to miss. But it all seems reasonable. We could do it in a proportion of the membership. In other words, the board would be the directors, and the grants or members would be the entire association, although they wouldn't have rights to vote or to decide or anything like that, because that, you know, it's tough just to get seven of us together. So
right.
That's where we're at right now.
That sounds good, and maybe that will tie in if Shauna says, well, we're going to pick these six activities or events, we maybe decide how do they fall under that
your spring special event fellow.
Yeah, because that would be good, and would help us maybe even with some accounting stuff. Ed, there's one other thing I wondered if you could look into for us, legal issue, on these road maintenance issues.
Okay.
You know, the county somewhat would prefer that we not do a Title V right-of-way with the BLM. But I think as we've met with them, they've really softened their position on that. And I talked with Mike Noel, who's been working directly with some of their legal counsel, and he assured me that whatever we did would not weaken their position in any legal way, but it may kind of weaken their public clamor. You know, if we maintain a road, in essence, not that we have the capability to maintain it as good as they did, but let's say we maintained the road so well that there was no public outcry for, hey, why isn't this road not being maintained? It would, you know, maybe weaken some of their public support for this, which, you know, still, I think, as I've mentioned before, I don't really support that logic personally. But
you know, we have a family out there.
Yeah. So the BLM has come back in, or the county, they, again, because they're kind of trying to discourage us from this, but, and one of the ways you discourage people in today's world is you throw out the L word, you know, the liability word, is that they have suggested that if we work on the road, and then let's say there's a traffic accident out there on the road or whatever, that we may have some liability associated with that. Now, I know there are lots of Title V right-of-ways given in the county where people work on or ignore or do whatever, and when somebody's out driving their personal vehicle along the road, if they, you know, crash, I've never heard a situation where just because somebody had the right-of-way and they maintained or didn't maintain something that translated any liability onto them. But if there's... We probably need to answer that question to some degree, if possible.
Well, we're not maintaining the road. We're just making it passable in case of emergency.
Right.
That's
our style. Yeah, we have
now, but
we have no obligation to maintain the road. What they're kind of suggesting is, well, what if we grade the road, and in the process of grading the road, We put a little more gravel here than here, and somebody comes along and they slide off the road here and they say, oh, well, it's because you guys, you know, put this half inch of gravel on the road and I maybe wouldn't have slid off otherwise or some. I think they'd have a hard time ever saying that anything that we did made the road worse than what it would have been otherwise. But that would be, I guess, their claim is that, you know, we clearly have no obligation to maintain the road or do anything. But if we, or maybe let's say our road graders out there and we're doing something to maintain, somebody comes around and hits the road grader. I don't know what all the options could be, but I don't know if we have really any liability there. I know that there's probably some extreme ability that, well, if somebody wants to sue us, they can. But I don't know that we're stepping forward with a lot of risk there compared to the risk we have of not maintaining it for the rights of our members and the people that live out there. So I'm not inclined to worry too much about it personally, but we may want to have you research that a little bit.
All right.
I know you guys already voted on it, but I want to bring it up one more time. The Hunt operation, he is a commercial venture. I would almost bet that he has some kind of commercial liability policy in place. And as a member, he's got, you know, a bull out there. He's got those cattle with a bighorn. I would sleep better at night knowing that if he does have one, if he could ask if he did, and if he could find out how much it costs to put us on the additional insurance to cover our books.
I will take the action to ask him.
I'm sure he probably would.
I'll talk to him about it.
I have insurance. I have to, sometimes on particular jobs, I have to list someone who's
right.
Insured. It doesn't cost me any
sometimes
extra.
Sometimes the company charges something sometimes. I know I've been charged $25 to add another resort.
Yeah, let's not go down this trail for another half an hour.
Yeah.
I will ask him, and if he can do it, I'm sure he'll be willing to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, quick question, Ed.
Yeah.
Were you in contact with the Rural Water Association and
initially? Yes.
Are you still?
Nobody. Nobody has. Again, we're going to have a committee. And Dale's point was that the old one was resolved. The new one's going to be put together, and somebody will be made point of contact. So that not just like over at the state water, you know, we don't want 20 people calling us. So.
Right.
But go ahead.
Well, just that class that I took,
yeah.
There was a test following.
Okay.
That wasn't signed up. Not a big deal. I mean, I went to a class, I learned
okay.
a lot, but the next class is in March, or the next
test
is in March. So whoever is on this committee or whoever is in charge of it, I can do it. It's not a big deal.
Well, we're not trying to put any board member or any committee in between you
right.
and that information. So everything that I think you can as you go to
right.
classes or you take the test, we want you to get the
yeah.
direct mail for. And,
right.
and as mail comes in the P.O. box, I'm trying to get
right.
things directly to you rather than
well,
through somebody else. But our biggest error was that some of our contact points were still going with buttons.
Right.
And none of us knew enough to know that you had to sign up for the test
right.
in advance of the class, or you couldn't take it.
Well, something along with that is if you guys would consider a few bucks into that account for extra classes, and I'd say no more than about $500 for
on the budget, you mean?
Uh-huh.
For the
water testing class.
Water testing.
Okay.
But I guess I'll go into my report.
Is that it, Ed, for you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Spent a few days in a water class. I have a whole book of information and a wealth of knowledge now on the water system as far as contamination, backflow, certain things, chlorination. So I guess that's a good thing.
to have a water operator out there, which I'm sure will get certified, and to have a water operator out there.
Well, especially with the public going out there, not members.
Right. With that said, we tested positive, I've mentioned, and we need to post either online or somewhere that we did test positive for.
So did you learn in your class how we about the posting requirements?
Supposed to be on the hydrant, but then what they would like to see is every, because it's a
member driven
transient kind of station, that we post something online.
Also, we could, with the annual dues going out this was it January, we could put a little note in the so that every, at least every member knows.
Well, I was told to not do that. Something right here. If you put something on the internet or on the website, now I think everybody should be informed, right? But if you put something on the internet that says, you know, check out new water system and details on the water system, then you click on that and then go to a page that says we did test positive for this, that, and everything, and everything's fine now. But they have to kind of dig for that. A lot of people, when they see, you know, you tested positive for coliform, they kind of freak out and they don't want to drink the water anymore.
Well, they may even claim that they have got some sort of an ailment.
So I think, you know, the lady, Janet Lee, she's with the division.
So what is the requirement then? The requirement is just post
that we post
internet?
Something, yeah. I'm all up for, you know, letting everybody know, but...
Well, my concern's always been... Can we drink the water? Can't we? Are we in between the times when you can and you can't?
Well, no. Everything's fine. I, like I said, I went back and I looked at what I did wrong and what happened, and what happened was that the cows figured out how to turn the hydrant on.
So we, I mean, I have 30 plus people that go into the ranch, and then we go home, and half of them are.
Diarrhea.
They're looking at me. And
wasn't related to the water.
No. our water actually tests.
Yeah. It was the potato salad.
Water actually tests good.
Well, and so I say, you guys weren't drinking the water, were you? No, I'm just kidding. But but that, for me, I mean, it's got to be cut and dried, and it's got to be really clear.
Right, right.
And for these people that I take, whoever it is, I mean, I speak with all these.
Well, maybe we could say this. I think that we're moving into those kind of compliances.
Right, well,
right now, the lower cabins are on a system that is regulated, and we're testing it, and we're trying to make sure that we're fully compliant. And we are as much as probably any municipality in theory. Like Fredonia had a failed test, and they put a notice in the newspaper last year, right?
Well,
they've had maybe one a year. They had one this year, and I think one the year before. But it was kind of a notice about something that was had already happened. It's too late to do anything about it. We had a failed test. We're okay now. Just, you know, it's a noticing requirement. So I don't know that we'll ever be able to say we're never going to have a problem again, but we're trying to do everything we can. But the upper cabins are, what's the situation with them? I mean,
That's an investigative system. It's kind of a put-together system that the state doesn't recognize as
we're
primary drinking water source.
Really in compliance yet. We think that we're not unsafe, but we need to move forward with that to you know, probably test it more regularly.
Well, then that's
going to
change. We're going to test it. We usually test it every quarter. We're going to start testing it every month, just kind of a CYA kind of thing.
We worked out with... the Water Conservancy, part of our problems is on these tests that you do, you have to take them and you have to drive them to Cedar City that day. And so that's quite, you know, that's out of every 20 days, a month work day, we took one of them off the schedule if we tell Paul to do that. And so Paul's going to try to start testing when Kanab City does their tests. And the Water Conservancy, and if we get the test to Kanab, then they will take it to Cedar City. And so that's and they do it every month towards the first of the month, the first or second day of the month, and or depending on, I guess they like to do it on a Monday or a Tuesday.
You'll want to do it on a Friday.
Because if it fails, you've got to do something within so many days, and if the weekend's in there, you've got a problem. But so, you know, I mean, we're in a little bit of a gray zone, you know, for sure, especially on the upper cabins. But
you can question boil the water. That's what they always told us about.
We have the same
boil the water.
Arizona is our homeowner association there. We had a couple of different failures on our well water.
Well, we've really got a pretty good system, both the upper and the lower. Something that we don't have in place is the chlorination. And I'm learning about that, how much per gallon, you know, those kinds of things. And I'm learning that, I learned that in the class, but, you know, you don't take a non-chlorinated water sample to be tested. You know, we've escaped for I don't know how long without getting a positive test, but, you know, it's a pretty good system. Pump the water, it goes in the tank drains, you get water.
That's what they did at Abdon, that when they started the water system out there, they came to my back tap and turn on the water. I'm telling you, when they first started that chlorination, it burned my eyes.
Well, I hope not to get it like that. But, I
think we got too much.
I started chlorinating. It's going to take a lot probably to clean the system completely out. But I got, you know, test kits and everything to test the chlorination. But I've kind of spent the month going through. We had Terry with the Rural Water Association come out and kind of pinpoint some things that the Division of Water would come and knock us points for. We already have, I don't know how many points we have, just because I've worked with them and they've knocked some points off. So I don't know where we're at, about 30 or 40 points on a 100-point system. But I've worked on fixing some things that if the Division of Water were to come out and knock us points and I don't know if they'd bump us offline, but it wouldn't be trying to get us as compliant as we can.
Yeah, we need the critical things. We need the backflow.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we need to, everything, because we need to include that in the budget. And that should be implemented pretty soon.
Well, for, you know, simple things like the wellhead inside the generator shack, there's a big gaping hole right there for anything to just jump right down into the same reservoir that the pumps pump along.
Yeah.
You know, simple things like that.
Okay.
But there's a number of them. But
so let us know what you need,
right?
You know, and we'll budget it.
Winterize the cabins and the water system on the upper system. Just kind of a matter of time. I'm just going to hurry through this. Collecting firewood for myself and the cabins. Maintenance of vehicles, equipment, including oil changes and. Are you going to bring that tester down?
Yes, I got it. In fact, I've got it in the truck. I'll make sure I get it to you.
And we have a number of, you know, generators and the truck and the tractor, the generator on the generator shed, just changing the oil, getting ready for winter.
And making sure all everything's 25 or below on the antifreeze. So,
worked up in the meadow a little bit, and I'm getting some stuff together to make some cattle guards to make my project for the winter. Right? I don't know. I know I have enough to do one. And we're going to put that up.
And, Shauna, this was one.
I got plenty of those if you want
to. I saw them. I'm going to pick them up.
Yeah, we still got those two over there in flight. We're going to pick up.
Yeah.
They're right there when going through the
and
gate.
And she's saying she's got more than
a... I
wanted
to keep them for some reason. I'm not sure, but I got a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
So you don't want us to take the ones over in flight.
Leave one there. You can take one, but leave one. I don't know why exactly. I think we're trying to drag the property.
There's enough I-beams to do the 3-inch round is kind of what I'm at.
The pipe. And you don't have anything now. Right? So, and we were going to look at buying some pipe from Page Steel or somebody.
Are we going to do pipe or are we split two then?
Whichever is cheaper.
Right. Okay.
I think the tubing's better if it's all about the same and easier to weld.
For a tubing, it's easier to weld.
Yeah.
So
you got two sides.
Yeah.
I think if we can do the tubing, that's what we want to do. But does anybody have any better ideas of where we might find some tubing? You know, we don't need new materials.
Page Steel will be the cheapest. It's close. Metal Mart up in Lehigh is actually the cheapest. But getting up there and getting back down here is that's a big deal.
Well, what do you need? Because I could bring it down.
Ranch, good day.
Oh yeah, that's right. We've got somebody who's going to be passing right through Lehigh. Yeah. Let's look at some prices up there at Metal Mart.
Can you look at that, Dave, and see what their prices are? Do you know the place that he's talking about?
Not that matters, but down there really easy on the online.
Right. I'm gonna be working on that cattle guard going to the upper cabin. We can get the fence and then that cattle guard in there. It's going to be the first one that I'm going to work on.
Yeah.
With that, I called Schultz and it's going to be over $600 for the T-post and wire. So
we got a price from Taylor and from Schultz, and right, and Schultz's was a little less.
No, it was a little more.
A little more.
Taylor
okay.
was $570.
Okay, so we should go with Taylor then. Yeah. And I saw the one price. I didn't see the other one. But, and that's in this year's. So we want to get that spent.
Okay. Or it won't be next year.
Right. Part of the reason, I'm just kind of trying to skinny it down for tax purposes. If we know we're going to spend some money on something this year because we had no capital treatment of any of our... fees, we need as much expenses as we can show. So, you know, if it's a matter of buying something in December or January, we ought to buy it in December if we have the available funds. And I sure we do for that item.
That's all I have. Basically, just getting ready for winter and getting some projects wrapped up. I plan on taking, well, the Kubota has been kind of a uphill. Broke the tension bar on the one side. And I got to looking at the whole thing, and it's just kind of welded and pieced together with nails and whatever they had at the time. So I ended up buying two tension bars and a thermos net. But I hope to get the Kubota up to the meadow or somewhere and start brush off.
Some of the things that we looked at... we're trying to have a management meeting once a week, and on things that are a nice piece of equipment like the grader, the Kubota, things that we really want to have working for 20 years, we're trying to get out of the baling wire, you know, mode. And so,
yeah, save money, but doesn't save time.
So we've kind of encouraged Paul, and Paul's been doing it, you know, getting clevis pins and different things, and the temperature gauge, for example, wasn't working in the tractor, and getting things like that fixed instead of just going year after year with things in, you know, ready to break any moment state. So I appreciate Paul working on those and getting things improved.
Do you want to go over this at all?
You might just talk to him about the concept of what we're doing there, and we'll do that later.
Something Dirk brought to me the other day is one of these. And did you email everybody this?
No.
It's just kind of more or less accountability. Just, you know, when do we talk about certain things, and when we plan on getting it done, how much it's going to cost. I think it's great to meet once a week. Just because it, you know, gives me a list of things to do, and we kind of just keep moving forward and, rather than going in circles. So I don't know if you just add to this every week, but you show that we're accomplishing stuff and things that we need to progress in.
Good.
Are the Brady's happy?
Yeah. Dee's not feeling too good today. He got his wisdom teeth cut yesterday.
Oh. Then a bit of it, Dee, we'd feel sorry for him.
Yeah. We didn't go through it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing good. We're kind of, you know, we're settling in and finally.
Leaving
in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm dating for the
window. Okay, Meadow Canyon Restoration. Dale, if you could give us an update there on.
Just quick, we have. Done the pushing and burning willows. I think we've almost doubled the size of the productivity of the wet meadow with the rose bushes and willows that have been removed, and some of the erosion healed up. Parkland moved out of there yesterday, so we'll be seeing whether the $7,500 that was approved for contract work up there covers all of it. The reservoir is exciting. All of you should go look at it and see what a marvelous change has been made there. And we anticipate water. I hope it comes in. And in the middle of the reservoir, we did an island. In case we have ducks, they could stay on the island and not let the coyotes eat them. But it looks good. Those who have seen it have been very complimentary. We're also doing an ATV trail around the edge of the meadow for fence repair, for sort of you can go around and see what's there. I think our members will enjoy the atmosphere of the meadow, and for Paul or Hunt to maintain things, they can at least get close enough to see what the problem is. There are a lot of springs, and we're trying to identify where the springs are and how to harness them, how to develop them, how to put them so that they're usable instead of just a mud hole. Johnson moved in with these big equipment on the north end and was chisel plowing where we took the brush off. So to come in and cut along the roots and clean up more, he had two of his boys there to stack the slash and the sagebrush that's still there, so we'll get some more burning done. We've saved all the ponderosa pine trees and some cedar, but some of the cedar trees may still go. We also took on the upper end, there's water coming in off a pipeline, and two or three different channels coming out of the forest and the Bear Pond and the canyon that we call the Bear Spring. We've taken all of those and put a water channel from the Bear Pond over in the Red Reservoir. So any water that comes off the Dixie National Forest on that upper end will all go in the Red Reservoir. And it looks good. We wanted to do this, but we thought we had to do it on the forest side. And we finally decided to just do it on our own private land. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be easily accessible. It'll carry, I think, all the water that would ever come off the forest and reservoir every drop of it.
That's almost guaranteeing they're going to get some water down there.
Yeah. And we have opened up the headgate and the culvert underneath the dam. We raised the dam. The dam was raised probably about 4 feet from what it was. 2 feet last year, another 2 feet this year. So the ranch, the pond will handle a lot more water that should protect our flow and stuff, anything that would come down. The thing, though, that we need to add on the budget, Dirk, is the culvert. Once we got that high culvert, our headgate, freed up, it was all rotted off on the bottom and it fell over. We dug on it this morning in the snow, so we're going to have to replace that 12-inch headgate that's there, and maybe a little repair on the culvert that goes through. It's been there, I don't know, 50 or 60 years, so it wasn't a surprise to find that it has rusted where it's been down under 10, 12 feet of dirt for years and years and years. But Larry's about got that dug out, and we're going to finish it but run out of time this morning. So first of the week, we'll need to order a new headgate, and then that reservoir will be functional to use the headgate, let the water in and out. But it looks good. I think that whole meadow area is going to be a whole new playground for all of our members to go and enjoy it, see the springs coming up. The Johnsons will be disking and preparing the soil on that upper 40 acres and even down where we've been burning. I had a representative from the Department of Agriculture, Natural Resources Conservation Service was there with me yesterday, and we looked at erosion, looked at soils and with brush treatment, and he's going to try to get their range man to come down and talk to us about the different seeds, what kind of planting we should put in, and they have some money, but mostly I don't think we're going to end up with any of the money after talking with him, but technical assistance on water systems, on their technicians, their soils, the seed to plant, and some things like that. So I thought it was worthwhile to spend the morning with this man. He had been up there. I had him up there 3 or 4 months ago, and this was kind of a follow-up. I thought that they would help us on other parts of the ranch, but he said, we can only touch private land. We will not, we cannot do anything on BLM, on forest. It is 100% on private land. And he's not sure that the corporation can qualify unless all 300 members
agreed.
Are involved in agriculture.
No.
So he's checking on that.
Well, we are, aren't we? We grow ponderosas. We grow.
Everybody can have a cow.
Right? The kicker is that you need to show at least $1,000 income off of your agricultural pursuit each year.
That would be a hard one.
No, for each individual. All 300. Or the property, and the thing is more practical, is the agriculture interest may be under an individual or a company, and then he said it would qualify. So whether Hunt or Johnson's or something might be the way to qualify for their program. But he's going to prepare a letter that will give us a lot more information after his visit up there yesterday. But the restoration is coming along great. I think we'll see a much stronger, not only production, but the beauty and the protection from erosion and beneficial use of the water will be significant to the membership. So that's all.
Perfect.
How much do you estimate a head gate would cost?
Seems like the one that we bought for Half Moon was around $1,200. This is a longer one. I can get a price from Schultzman.
Well, and you're thinking it needs to be installed now.
Oh, yeah.
So that when we get water in it through the winter, it'll
be... In fact, we're concerned that some of this snow might even put some water in there now, which won't really hurt, but it's a muddy mess.
Well, we should probably discuss and decide.
It would be well for you to approve it if you want to approve it for...
then we need to do it right away.
To get one on
our budget. We
from Schultz.
Do we have enough in the budget?
My guess is I went through a couple of weeks ago, and or maybe it was even the last meeting, and so a month ago, and you know we had enough for sure to do the 7,500. My guess is we're still fairly conservative enough that we could fit another 1,200 in there with also these fencing supplies. So I'm not too nervous about it. That we probably still have enough money to do that and be where we need to be January before we start getting funds. So.
So you want me to make a motion that we go ahead and approve? We do need that culvert in. That's what we walked out on the Red Reservoir and saw. We do need to put that in there. So if we wait till it gets too muddy, we won't be able to get it in.
It's already pretty muddy up there, so we need to do it in a hurry.
Like right now. Well, I make a motion. I make a motion that we go ahead and approve that, even if it's, we have to make it up in January from the dues. Some have already paid dues for next year, so I think we need to do that right away. I make a motion to do it.
We put kind of a dollar amount to it.
It's $1,200.
Well, and they're going to need some. Right, they're going to need some fittings and some ends for the culvert and stuff. So I'd say
so maybe
more like
15?
About 2,000 would probably be what it's going to take.
It'll be the longest, highest head gate we've got on the range, and I don't know, you know, how this thing.
Well, let's go over 2,000 because I don't know if we're.
That should cover it.
Up to 2,000.
Up to 2,000.
Hey, those pipes that we were looking at, do you want? Could you use those up there with that? The two metal pipes?
No, I think, didn't you talk about using those on the half moon?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, there's some more. That was good. I think there was some more laying around somewhere.
We're talking 12 inch.
Right. The head gate.
No, there's some 4 inch steel pipes. To support the head gate. So it may be well to take those up and mash them in the ground.
Right.
Better than those cedar posts that are 30 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, so let's say Sean has made a motion to approve up to $2,000 for additional expenses to get the head gate working in Red Reservoir. Second by John. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okie dokie.
Can I make a little quick thing? Yeah, I both have meetings done for 15 minutes late in here.
You've
got 1 to 5 minutes.
let me suggest something then, okay? Because the next part is really important, and yet we could spend 3 hours on it. We could probably do a lot of it on the internet with emails, but here's the process I think we need to go through. We need to make a list of the projects or activities we need to fund in the future. And I would say not even just next year. Maybe some of these are things that are out so that we start having, here's our 5 or 10 year plan. And then we need to prioritize which one of these are we going to work on next year. I would really like to, you know, we always talk, especially being up there every week. Every time we drive by something, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. We've got these 100 things we need to do and these other 100 things that we'd really like to do. Somehow we've got to get it down to next year. Here's the 15 things we're really going to do. And the budget that correlates with them. And so I would say the first step is if each of you would commit to email me your list of projects or priorities and maybe what you think would be a cost associated with it. So let me just say some of these may have no cost associated with it. Some of them may, like Linda has given me her list. One of the items says, I want to see the water system made into compliance or whatever. Some of them may just be, hey, Paul, we want you to fix this gate. So it may not necessarily have a cost. Please still put it on the list. So if you'll email me that list, then I'll take everybody's list and re-email out everybody's list. And then we can maybe go through some type of a thing where everybody picks their top 15 and then we see where they're common. And I'd be willing to kind of coordinate that emailing back and forth. But because next meeting, we really need to do a budget. I don't think can do a budget without having a lot of this discussion behind us. So would that work as a process?
That would work great.
Anybody have any better suggestions?
Yeah, that, as you know, I got at least one thing going on cabin set.
Yes.
And I'm just going to discuss that today, but I do have to meet this person at 4:30. So.
Okay.
No, it's actually a better idea, Dirk. I think gives us all a little bit of time to really think about it. And
prioritize them.
Well, and let me ask if you can can I ask that you would all get this to me by next Thursday? And so think through your list, including Dale's list, Larry Baird, anybody.
How about before that?
Has,
Thanksgiving on the Thursday.
Not this Thursday. This Thursday, our anniversary.
Right.
Oh, the next Thursday. Oh, you're right. It's Thursday.
Yeah, I want it done so I can work on it next weekend. So if you'll have it to me by Thursday of next week.
And
the 20th?
What day is it?
19th.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm going to say this. If it ain't on the list by next Thursday,
it's not on the list.
We missed the opportunity. I know you can't, maybe there would probably be something come up that we forgot that we have to do, but I'd really like us to think and get everything put together so that we don't get 3 months into the year and find out, gee, we didn't even put the important things on the list. Okay?
I think use the new budget that you hand out today as a guide is a marvelous way to see what we planned last year and how badly we did or didn't hit it.
That's probably a second thing that you're going to have to learn, use or work on. We're going to have our project list and our budget associated with project list, but we need to look at the rest of the budget and see just in normal expenses. I think Paul and Nancy have done a pretty good job this year. I think more money has gone to things like projects like Clark Lamb type work and other things than just disappearing in propane bills and fuel bills and other things. And so I think when we look at history and see here's what was budgeted and here's kind of, you know, the things that Paul and Nancy have controlled, that we'll probably find they did a pretty good job there. And so I don't know that we'll find that there's a lot of opportunity to cut back much more from what they've done. But we at least had $30,000 or $40,000 of our approximate $100,000 budget this year that went to projects. And my guess is that's a better ratio than we've had
for a long time.
So we'll want to look at that and try to build on it for next year.
And you know what? And because Paul and Nancy did a good job like that, we ought to think about incentivizing them to do a good job like that, monetarily speaking, you know. Well, we say, you say that this much money is.
And I know there's also, I'm going to have to discuss, I told Linda I'd work with her, basically based what we're asking her to do should be roughly about 2.5 hours a day of, you know, 5-day work week. But there's a lot of days that she's spending, you know, 5 and 6 hours a day. So we either have to more automate things to reduce her time, I think, or pay her more or something. And so somewhere in this reservation solution and accounting issues, we're going to have to either skinny her job down or budget some more money to be, you know, fair to that possibly. So and so far I've been trying to say, hey, let's skinny this down. And, you know, Linda and I have had some talks. She likes to be helpful, and some of the times we're going to have to say, well, we can't pay you to be helpful.
Right.
You know, I know people want to know how many knives and forks and spoons are out there, but, you know.
It's not her job.
we're going to have to somehow draw the line on some of these things, and I think she can do that if we give her more guidance.
On the same token, I think you'll spend many hundreds of dollars with your own secretary on Deer Springs things, and that's not fair either to know that you're carrying that load.
Exactly.
You did a great job.
I know that Brent has carried some. I know that we've carried thousands of dollars and haven't paid a dime for backhoe or grader or a lot of the equipment. So there's a lot of things going that, you know, is happening at the ranch for its improvement that's way beyond the budget as it sets today. And I don't think it continues. I think that we've got to find some additional cash flow to make the ranch what we want. We cannot continue to have certain families subsidize the whole thing and protect the members when they're the ones that are benefiting by the improvements on the ranch. So how we do that is a...
Well, we're going to have to really look at some additional revenue sources. It'll be a little
bigger than a horseshoe tournament, I think.
That's right.
Just a
tennis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, any other things that need to be discussed before we depart? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn then.
Okay, I'll second it.
Ed's made the motion, and
I'll second
Sean has second. All in favor?
Woohoo!